You know, we're in the middle of this series that we've been doing for the last several weeks on healing, trying to find more healing in our life. And I guess with all the things that are going on societally and with COVID and just all the stuff going on, I think there's lots of stuff in our lives that we just need healing from. And so I think it's very safe to say that we probably all have hurts that we will never forget. And we probably all have hang-ups in our life, maybe especially right now, that we might believe that we're never going to get rid of. And we all have these habits that, I don't know, are messing up our lives. And so again, we've been in this series called The Road to Recovery, and today we're going to take a look at the fifth step of healing and this whole healing process, which Rick Warren calls the transformation step. And I guess I sort of like that, right, that title, because it's sort of the V in the road to recovery. And this is where we voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life. And it's where we humbly ask him to remove all of our character defects. It's based on this verse. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice to God, dedicated to his service and pleasing to him. And let God transform you inwardly by the complete change of your mind. It's from Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. Now, I want to make sure you got that. God wants to transform you. In other words, he wants to change you, right? God loves you just the way you are, but he loves you way too much to let you stay that way. So he wants to change you, and he wants to change you by the renewing of your mind. But as we listen to that, maybe our question is, how exactly does he do that? Because to be honest, and if we're going to be honest for a moment, changing's hard, isn't it? And changing the junk in our lives and the way we think about those things in our life and the way we feel about them, and all of the default acts that continue to mess up our lives, I mean, changing them, man, that's downright brutal, isn't it? So again, how do we get there from where we are right now? And God in his word, well, he gives us these five things. Or you could look at them as five steps to accomplish this very thing. And one of the first things he says is this. He said, I want you to focus on changing one defect at a time. In Proverbs 17, verse 24, it says, an intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. Some of you have been coming in or tuning into this series for the last several weeks, and you start to think, you know, that's great, but I've got 30 things that I want to change, not one. And so hear me say this. Don't do that. You'll get overwhelmed very quickly if you try to change 30 things at one time. You'll get discouraged, and you'll end up, to be honest, not changing a blessed thing. In other words, you must be specific when you start bringing this stuff before God. And so I would suggest what you do is you pray to God and you say, God, which of these specific defects in my life right now, right, would you like me to work on first? Not what I'd like to work on, but what, Lord, do you want me to work on? And really the grace of God and the way he works with us is he usually highlights one or two of those at any given time for us, doesn't he? He says, I want you to work on this. And man, does he keep saying that over and over and over until finally we say, yes, Lord, we know we need to do it. So you just don't pray, God, I'd like to be a better person. That can be kind of a, in itself, sort of self-denial. You've got to be specific. And you've got to be very specific as you bring this stuff to God. So say stuff like this. God, this is what I want you to work on. My anger, my anxiety, or my tendency to control people, or my workaholism, or my being dishonest, or whatever, right? You go back and you get your moral inventory that Mike talked about last week, right? And you get that and you sit down with this list and you say, God, which of these is damaging my life right now the most? And let them start working on those things. But this is super important. You must work on one defect at a time. Otherwise, it just doesn't work because you get overwhelmed way too quickly. What's another step? Step two, focus on God's power, not my power or my willpower. Why? Because you already know that willpower isn't enough, don't you? If willpower worked, you'd already be better. You'd already be changed. But you're not, and you haven't. And you won't. Because you don't have enough power, not in yourself, to do it. So you know willpower doesn't work. I mean, that's been obvious now for a while. In fact, depending on your own strength, just kind of blocks recovery in your life, to be honest. And so when you say, I can work it out, or I can handle this, or I can do it all myself, really, no, I'm fine. This is not really a big problem in my life. But if you're saying that, it's obviously a big problem in your life, right? Because you still got it, because you're still struggling with it, because you're still not better. And we know resolutions don't work. Resolutions are simply trying to force a boat to go one way when everything else in the boat wants to go the other way. Pretty soon, you just get tired, don't you? And you let go of the steering wheel, and off you go. Resolutions don't work. Can a leopard take away his spots, the scripture says? Nor can you who are used to doing evil start being good. So God says, forget it. You'll never change in your own willpower. You'll never change in your own power. But here's the good news, God says. I can master anything with the help of Christ who gives me strength. In other words, what you can't do, I can do with you. I can do for you, God says. So you pray, Lord, I know I can't change in my own power, but I'm trusting you to take away this defect, to take away this struggle, to take away this problem. I want you to literally imagine God taking away your defect in your mind. God, I'm throwing my anger into the trash can again. I'm throwing my blank into the trash can again. But the only problem is I have to have garbage delivery about every hour, not weekly like we do at our house. God is going into the garbage again. And then you let God take it away again and again and again. But willpower doesn't work. But God does. So you trust God's power, not your own, because he can help you master it. He can help you overcome it. He's the power you need to move forward. It's another step. How about this one? I focus on what I want and not what I don't want. Philippians 4:8. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right, and think about those things that are pure. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about it, Paul says. In other words, he's saying focus on the good things, not the bad things. Pretend it's Thanksgiving like every single day, right? Whether you focus, because whatever you focus on is what you end up moving toward in life. That's just a truism. Whatever you focus on is what dominates your life. If you focus on the bad, it will keep dominating your life. How many of you guys are overcome by the news right now? It's because that's what you're focusing on 24/7. But God says this, if you focus on what you can be and what God wants you to be in your life, then you move that way. You know, you watch the news and you're overcome with anger or frustration or whatever, and you remember that God wants you to focus on loving people and being kind to people and praying for people. If you can remember that and focus on that, that's the way you move instead of being a victim to the news, right? Whatever has your attention, though, has you. And so God says, just turn the mental channel of your mind. If you're watching a bad show on TV, you just don't say, I'm not going to watch it, I'm not going to watch it, I'm not going to watch it. No, you get up and you turn the channel. You flee from temptation. You change your focus from where it's been to where you want it to be. This is the power of affirming the Word of God. In fact, there are over 7,000 promises in the Bible. And God says, I want you to use them. Actually use them in your life. Trust them. Because once they get into your mind, you can use them to counteract all the negative things, all the negative thoughts that the devil and other people, you know, they just want to give you. And every time you think a positive thought, every time you think a scriptural truth, every time you think any thought, it makes an electrical kind of impulse in your brain. And so every time you think the same thought again and again, that gets deeper. It reinforces that brain pattern. Some of you have had negative ruts in your mind for a long time because you've thought them over and over and over. And the only way you get rid of those negative ruts is to think of God's word, his truth, over and over and over. So in your mind, you have two scales. On one side are all the negative thoughts that the devil tells you that, I don't know, former girlfriends or boyfriends have told you, or I don't know, maybe it was your parents that told you some horrible things, and or maybe it was some school teacher who hated you, said you'll never amount to anything or whatever, something they said. And then over here, you have all the good things that God wants to say about you that are in his word, that are his truth for you. You got more of the negative than you do the positive because you haven't spent as much time, right, focused on what God says. And if you're honest, every time you think of a positive thought based on the Bible and you claim that verse, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, you start to change that pattern of the old, right? You start changing all those negative ruts into positive ruts. And every time the devil says you can't change, you say this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? That's the promise of God. When Satan says, "Who do you think you are? You're worthless." You remember that God has said, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." He looks at me like I'm perfect. When Satan says, "You'll never break out of this, and you ought to be afraid of what's going to happen because of this," you again remember that God says that there is no fear in love, that perfect love casts out all fear. And you keep repeating the positives over and over and over until finally it's like every time you put a pebble on this side, it gets a little heavier. Till one day, right, this side of the table, the positive side of the table, is going to turn over because you have all this positive, way more positive than you have negative, and you'll be free. See, God wants you to do that in your life. If you focus not on what you don't want, but what you do want, focus on not what is untrue, but on what is true, God says, "I'll give you freedom and peace and forgiveness and joy." It's the next step. How about this? Focus on doing good, not on feeling good. Galatians 5:16 says, "If you're guided by the Spirit, you will be in no danger of yielding to self-indulgence." In other words, if you do the right thing, your feelings will eventually catch up with you. I love that. Or let me say this a different way. If you wait until you feel like changing, you'll never change. The devil will make sure that you never change, that you never feel like it. And so it's always easier to act your way into a feeling than it is to feel your way into an action. If I don't feel very loving toward my wife, God says, start acting loving toward my wife, and the feelings will come. Because again, if you wait until you feel like it, it could be a really long time. So you say, "I don't feel like it." God says to you in response, "Just do the right thing and don't worry about feeling the right thing, because I promise if you're doing the right things, the feelings will eventually come." In AA, they use a phrase, "Fake it till you make it," right? You do the right thing even though you don't feel like doing it because you know it's the right thing to do and you do it anyway. And you know eventually your feelings will catch up. Anytime you start trying to change a major part of your life, a major character defect or a flaw or a personality weakness, anytime you start trying to make a major change in your life, it's not going to feel really good at the start. It just doesn't. In fact, it might feel really awkward. In fact, sometimes it just feels flat out bad. Why? Because it won't feel normal. You're so used to feeling abnormal. The normal doesn't feel very normal anymore, does it? So you won't feel really good oftentimes when you start making these changes. If you're a workaholic and you say, "Phew, I'm going to let God work on this area of my life, this area of workaholism, I want him to change it, and so tomorrow at 5 p.m., I'm going to decide to go home when the buzzer rings, and I'm not going to take my work home, and I'm not going to take any of that stress home." First time you go home, you'll say, "Man, this feels really weird," right? If you're a workaholic, the first time you try to relax and just take a little break, you'll find that you don't even know how to relax anymore because you haven't been doing it because you've been working so hard for way too long. If you overeat or drink or smoke, the first time you try to break that habit, you'll feel kind of weird, right? Nothing's in my mouth and I'm not eating anything. I'm not smoking anything. I'm not doing whatever. It may feel a little funny for a little while. And it may not feel right or normal, but if you keep on doing the right things over and over and over, eventually your feelings catch up with your behavior. And you cannot control feelings, right? But you can control your muscles. You can control your actions. So you do the right thing whether you feel like it or not, and the feelings will catch up with you. That's God's promise. I'll give you the final step. Focus on progress, not on perfection. Some of you have been, going through the series with us might say at this point, Pastor, I just don't see a whole lot of progress yet. I don't see a whole lot of change yet. I've been trying to apply the things that I've learned as we've gone through this series for over a month now, and I just don't see a whole lot of change. But hear me say, I don't want you to worry about it. It's a process. It's a decision followed by a process. And God who starts his work in you will bring it to completion. That's his promise. Remember the beachhead illustration I gave a couple of weeks ago? God establishes a beachhead in your life, right? And like an island, and the rest of the war, the rest of your life is where he's taking over that life, that island, a little bit by little bit by little bit. And so some of you are thinking that God will only love me if I hit a certain stage. That once I get to a certain stage of perfection, then he'll finally love me. But that's wrong. God loves you at each stage in your imperfection and in your growth. God will never love you any more than he does right now. Isn't that amazing? And he'll never love you any less than he does right now. He loves you completely. Or maybe to put it another way, as a dad, as I watched my kids grow up, along the way, I didn't expect my 9-month-old, right, to act like a 6-year-old, and I didn't expect my 6-year-old to act like an 18-year-old. I mean, they still had their diapers on, for heaven's sakes, you know, at 9 months, not at 6. But I was just excited about where they were in the process. Well, I was so excited about where they were in each stage of their lives, watching them grow, watching them learn, watching them develop, and so too God is pleased with your growth. It's the direction of your heart that says, God, I want to voluntarily submit to the changes that you want to make in my life. And so I humbly ask that you would remove these character defects from my life. Now, God doesn't start changing you until you're entirely ready for this change. And so that just means that we need to voluntarily submit and humbly ask. I mean, that's the step, right? And when you're entirely ready, I promise you, he starts working. And here's the most awesome part. Because Jesus came and he died and he rose again, not only can God do this, his promise is that he will do it in your life if you let him. My prayer today, guys, let him. And all God's people said, amen. Let's pray. God, we love you so much and we thank you for Jesus. And we give to you our hurts and our struggles and our pains and our worries and our fears right now. And Father, we pray that you would come into our lives and that you'd help us root those things out that are causing us pain, that are messing up our life or complicating our lives right now, that are complicating our relationships, that are complicating our jobs, that are complicating our health. We pray that you would breathe your special spirit into us so that we can again remember your truths that you've got us. Remember the truth that you love us, that you're there for us every step of the way. Remember that we're forgiven. And remember that because you are who you are, there is a power to help us overcome anything in our life because nothing is impossible for you. Father, keep us going along this journey. Keep us humble before you and continue to give to you these things that we need changed in our life. And Father, we pray that we would see the miracles on the other side of this because of who you are, because of our relationship with you, because you love us. We pray that in the name of Jesus and all God's people said, amen.